The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
Welcome to Bob Burney Live. This is the 4 o'clock hour of the program. And sometime during this hour, we're going to give away three very nice Father's Day gift baskets. Yeah, they've got nice perfume and candles. No. These are cool, masculine Father's Day baskets, and we've got three of them to give away sometime during this hour. When I tell you to call, it's not yet, but when I tell you to call, we'll take the first three callers. Callers number one, two, and three, all three of those will win a very nice Father's Day gift basket. We did that on Monday. We did it yesterday. We're going to do it today. That's nine Father's Day gift baskets that we'll be giving away. And then tomorrow, a grand prize winner will be chosen. And that's a big basket. It's really cool. All right, my number, 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483. Breaking news out of Atlanta. The police officer that shot Rayshard Brooks at a Wendy's has been charged with murder. 11 counts in total, including murder. And I made a comment, I don't know, a couple of days ago, that it looked like the shooting was absolutely unjustified and the murder was very possible. One of our listeners said, he wrote me an email and said he was furious with me for saying that. Well, in looking at the evidence that has been presented today, it does look like the murder charge is justified. And I'm not going to get into all of the details, but check it out for yourself. There's a lot of information available now. The videos are available. The police officer's past record, the individual that was shot. Anyway, the bottom line is 11 charges, and one of them is murder. So that is the latest out of Atlanta. Another tragic situation. Terribly, just terribly tragic situation. And that obviously will wind through the courts. The police officer has been charged, but it is my understanding he has not surrendered to police yet. Now, I've got to say this. I said at the very beginning of the program at 3:30, stand with people who are trying to unite us, reject people that are trying to divide us. I was watching the press conference out of Atlanta where the the district attorney announced the official charges against the police officer, but also the attorney for the family of Rayshard Brooks. Rayshard Brooks is the man who was shot and killed by police. The attorney for the family spoke briefly at the press conference. Stand with people who try to unite us, reject people who are trying to divide us. We have seen often in cases like this where the attorney for the family of the individual involved tries to incite division, anger, resentment, etc. I have no idea who this attorney is. A black man representing the family of the man who was killed. He made it very clear that he felt that the shooting was unjustified, but then he made it absolutely clear that most police officers are not that way. Most police officers are good people who are willing to lay down their lives for the people that they protect. He pleaded for calm. He said that the family was pleading for calm. Let the judicial system do its job. And I thought, how unbelievably refreshing. Here is an attorney representing a grieving family. And yet he's not trying to incite violence. He's not trying to instill division. He is trying to call for calm. He is assuring people that most police officers are not bad people. And I thought, my goodness, how in a time of crisis, how very, very refreshing. I was just, it was wonderful. Sad, tragic, but so refreshing. And pray for the family. Now, do you believe that health officials would intentionally mislead? Well, get this. I just came across this about an hour before we went on the air. Dr. Anthony Fauci, the ultimate guru for the COVID-19 virus, who has flip-flopped. If you will remember, back in January, it was Dr. Anthony Fauci that went on national TV and said, you know, I don't think there's anything to worry about with this virus. It's not going to come to America. We don't have to worry about it. And then 2 months later, the same guy is on national TV saying, we're all going to die. He has flip-flop back and forth. Well, now, in an interview last night, he has admitted that health officials, including himself and the CDC and the World Health Organization, intentionally misled the public about wearing masks. He's admitted it. I'm not making this up. He admitted that health officials, now he doesn't use the term intentionally misled, but that's exactly what he said. The reason was when the coronavirus thing started to really explode, health officials, himself, people at the World Health Organization, people at the CDC, and even the Surgeon General of the United States were fearful that health officials, people in the hospitals, people in the emergency rooms, would run out of masks. And so they went public and said, you know, you probably don't need to wear masks. They probably don't help that much. Not because they believed it, but because they wanted to save the masks for the health officials. He said, quote, health experts were concerned, the public health community and many people were saying this, were concerned that it was at a time when personal protective equipment, including the N95 masks and the surgical masks, were in very short supply. So they went public and said, the masks don't need to be worn. In fact, they said that the mask, quote, would create a false sense of security. The U.S. Surgeon General Jerome Adams said, quote, masks are not effective at preventing the spread of the coronavirus. And then as soon as they realized, we're going to have enough masks, the very same people who said, we don't think you need to wear masks, as soon as they thought okay, we'll have enough masks to go around. Then they said, you better wear masks or you're going to die. Yeah. We now know if Fauci is telling the truth this time, that public health officials intentionally misled the public so that there would be enough masks for public health officials, doctors, nurses, and so forth. Yeah, what do you say? Wow. It just makes you, seriously, it makes you wonder what else we were misled about. Serious question, I think. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, a United States Protestant denomination is disciplining one of their leaders. Wait till you hear why. Yeah, when we come back.
Talk radio that makes a difference. Makes a difference. This is Bob Burney Live.
Welcome again to Bob Burney Live. Thank you for joining me. Telephone number 877 Bob Live, 877-262-5483. 877 Bob Live, 877-262-5483. Now, I started to head off in a direction I'm not going to. Let me head to this story. The Episcopal Church is in the middle of a disciplinary hearing. It had been delayed because of the whole COVID-19 thing, but it is now ramping up virtually. People are not meeting in person, but there is a virtual discipline meeting with the Episcopal Church of America. It is called a Title IV hearing. I don't know the polity of the Episcopal Church. I'm not sure what a Title IV hearing is all about, but I do know what it concerns and who is involved. The bishop of the Albany, New York diocese is basically on trial. Okay, it's a Title IV hearing, but it's a trial. And the bishop of the Diocese of Albany, his name is William Love, is the subject of the disciplinary hearing, the trial, the Title IV hearing. Now, what did Bishop William Love do to require a trial? What did he do wrong? Why is he being disciplined? Because he decided he would obey the Bible first and foremost, and the doctrinal statement of his own church. Yeah, it's all about same-sex weddings. The Episcopal Church of America, a couple of years ago, maybe it was 3 years ago, passed a resolution actually in defiance of their own doctrinal statement, allowing same-sex marriages, same-sex ordinations. Well, I'll take that back. The decision to allow same-sex ordinations was years ago. Many of you remember that case. But same-sex marriages, it was a few years ago. Bishop Love of the Albany Diocese said, I'm not going to do that. And so he was approached by some same-sex couples in his diocese, and he said, no, I can't do that. Well, according to the newer rules and regulations of the Episcopal Church, if he can't do it or won't do it, he has to provide someone in his diocese that will. He said, no, that is opposed to Scripture. So by standing for Scripture, standing for the God's definition of marriage, he is being disciplined. Quote, Canon 118, whatever that is, Canon 118 provides that wherever permitted by secular law and the diocese of the Episcopal Church, opposite sex and same-sex marriage both may be solemnized by Episcopal clergy. And so, get this. This bishop is being disciplined by his church because he desires to obey Scripture. Now, the Title IV hearing is just beginning. We don't know where it's going to go, but he has already been forbidden to solemnize any marriage. So, because he won't perform same-sex weddings, he can't perform opposite-sex weddings. And they are demanding that he recant. I got out my old Fox's Book of Martyrs a couple of weeks ago, and I've got it on my desk here at the radio station. And I've been going through some of the stories of the martyrs of the past and how many times people have been tortured, put to death, burned at the stake, and even worse things by their own religious organization that called themselves Christian. There was the Spanish Inquisition, where people were tortured, punished, because they refused to obey the church. There was the English Inquisition, where people like Latimer and Ridley were burned at the stake because they decided that allegiance to the Word of God was more important than allegiance to the church. Now, I don't think Bishop Love is going to be burned at the stake, but it's very possible he could be disciplined and even thrown out of the Episcopal Church because he's standing for the Word of God. Isn't it interesting how often history repeats itself? I think that's why Jesus, when he was here on the earth, was almost silent about the politicians and corruption in politics, but he was brutal with corruption in religion.